Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as a church, as a whole, we preach a lot about faith. But I want you to understand, you can't have faith if you don't have any hope. We're trying to get people to have faith. And when you really get to praying and speaking to them, you find out they've lost hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're not hoping, you don't have any faith. Many times when we pray, people get discouraged because their prayers aren't answered. And I'm realizing more and more is because we're praying without hope. Now, you might be wondering, what's the difference in hope and faith? Well, I'll tell you this. Hope is earnest or confident expectation. Confident expectation. Faith is trust in the one that you're expecting from. Let me give you the best example. Most of you have heard it, but it's the best one I got. When Jonathan was little, if I said to him, this afternoon we're going to go get ice cream, he was filled with hope. He earnestly, confidently expected, when we're going. And there were times that things happened and I didn't get to take him. And he reminded, Dad, you said yesterday we were going to get ice cream and you didn't do it. Guess what I had to do that afternoon on Monday? Why? Because he was full of a confident expectation. He had hope. Now, where did faith come in? He had faith that what Daddy said would happen. He trusted in the person who gave the promise. Does that make sense? So many times we mix up hope and faith. Hope is the confident expectation. And faith is saying, I believe what you told me you're going to do. Are you tracking with me? And so if we're not careful, we will pray and we'll have an earnest expectation, but our hope is in our prayer and not in God. We'll put more faith in how we pray. I remember one time, I don't remember which child it was, but they asked me to pray about something. And I took them by the hand. I prayed. I took a scripture. I prayed it. I believed it. I released my faith and said, amen. And they said, okay, now pray like you mean it. So what do you mean pray like it? Well, you know, yell. Have you ever prayed for somebody and you believe, but you could tell that they didn't believe you believed? Because you might be praying like this. Father, I thank you for Wayne right now, and I just pray that you're going to touch his body. I release my faith according to your word that you're going to touch him right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And some people went, God in heaven, God, right now I pray that you're going to move on Wayne. Yeah, woo! You feel that? You just feel my hand moving? You feel my hand? Yeah, yeah. What do? We put our hope in our prayer, not in our God.
That's right. Amen.
Because, see, true faith has no feelings. Because you're not moved by how you feel. You're moved by your faith in who said he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I believe I'm healed, but I'm vomiting. But I'm healed.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The fact is I'm vomiting. The truth is I'm healed.
Amen.
I don't feel healed at that moment. Come on now. But my faith can't go by my feelings. Because faith is not a feeling. It's a power.
Amen.
My faith grows to the level of my hope. Little hope, little faith. Because hope is the expecting. Faith is he's going to do it. Okay, and this is where I want to go. I want to go to Acts 12. If you're there, say, oh yeah. Let's start, if we could, in... we'll start in verse 1. That's a good place to start. And now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, because Herod was all about pleasing people, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads. Four squads, a squad in the Greek there means four soldiers. So actually he assigned 16 soldiers to watch him. Tell me, that Herod wasn't scared of Peter. He delivered him to 16 soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people at Passover. Now, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, I'll stop right there. That word constant in the Greek is also the word earnest. So we could read that earnest prayer. What does James tell us? The fervent prayer of a righteous person causes much to happen. That's one translation. It's the same word that's found here. So they were praying with fervency. Is everybody with me? They had faith in their prayer. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So we got two soldiers in the cell, 14 outside the cell. Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up and said, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals," and so he did. And then he said, "Put on your garment and follow me." Well, I'm going to stop right here. This doesn't have to deal with my message, but I can't go any farther unless I run and chase this squirrel and shoot him. You ready? Notice that the angel did what Peter could not do, but the angel did not do what Peter could do. Amen. The angel removed the bars and the chains off his wrist, but he said, "You put your shoes on. Amen. You put your coat on." At the end of the Gospels, it says, and the disciples went out, and the Lord working with them. This is a great analogy of the Lord working. Because God will do the miraculous, but within the supernatural, he will also ask you to do something in the natural to work with him. I believe with everything in me that if Peter would not have gotten up, put on his shoes, put on his sandals, that the angels would have eventually left. Amen. There are people here today that they want God to do everything. They want God to deliver them. They want God. Let me get a perfect example in finances. Just God, get me out of debt, but you keep putting yourself deeper in debt. God says, "I will do the supernatural and get you out of debt if you do your part." The Lord working with you. Here's the part that messes a lot of Christians up also. We try to do God's part. And see, what I did in the past, and I'll tell you my mistakes, and you don't want me to tell you yours, I'll tell you about mine. What I would do when I'd get into a season of long suffering, I would do something and say, "If I do this, then God will do this. If I do this, then God will do this." What I was doing was I was trying to manipulate God. I learned a long time ago, it didn't matter what I did unless I did what he told me to do. If I just focused on what he told me to do, I'd have deliverance. But I try to add to it. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Amen. I learned you can't move God by what you do. Amen. But you can move him by doing what he tells you to do. I'll do the supernatural. You do your part. Is that helping anybody tonight? Okay, so we got the squirrel. We're going to eat him later. Let's keep going. And so Peter went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought it was a vision. He thought he's dreaming. And when they were past the first and second guards post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Again, God doing what he does. You just follow. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, in other words, wow, I'm not dreaming. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. And so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Now watch this. Where many were gathered together praying. Guess what they were praying for? For Peter to get out of jail. Amen. And Peter knocked on the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she left him at the door. Amen. Ran inside and said, "Peter's here." Amen. Now, I'm going to stop right there. What were they praying for? For Peter to be set free. The Bible says that they were praying earnestly. Didn't we read that? They were praying with fervency. They had faith in their prayer. Right? That's why I read all these verses. But look at the next verse. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself, or you're nuts. Don't you know Peter's in prison?" Peter's at the door. No, he's not. He's in prison. Wait a minute. We're praying. No. Yeah, but he's in prison. Yet she kept insisting. Thank God for Rhoda. She kept insisting that it was so. And they said, "Oh, it's his angel." They would still not believe that God had answered their prayer. Now Peter continued knocking. He's like, "Herod's going to find out I'm gone." And when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. They were amazed that God answered their prayer. You want to know why? They didn't have any hope. They had faith, but they didn't have any hope. They weren't expecting their prayer to be answered.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
Everybody, you got faith? Yes, amen. Got hope? Well, your hope level needs to be at where your faith level is.
Amen.
So when you release your faith in God can do it, then you expect it. See, this is where, and you tell on yourself, when people say things like, "I know God can, but I don't know if he will."
Amen. Amen.
You know what you just told me? You have faith in God, but you're not expecting anything.
Amen.
I know, preacher, I know God can heal me. Right then, I need to just stop and teach a little bit. We got to work on your hope.
Amen.
We got to get you start expecting. We're going to get some ice cream this afternoon. We got to work on that a little bit. Because why is hope so important? Because hope is what works with your faith. They're the power twins. They work together. Hope and faith work together. Expectancy, trusting, bang! Manifestation.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight? So let's look at a few verses. Is this helping anybody tonight? So hope is confident expectation. Faith is the tool of connection. They used to say about Oral Roberts that he used his faith like a tool, like he had a toolbox. And he wouldn't lay hands on you until he knew his faith was ready to connect. And he'd talk to you and he'd just ask questions. And all of a sudden you could see faith coming up in it. Do you remember when it said, you can tell somebody when they have faith? It says in Scripture that Jesus looked at them and perceived they had faith. Well, tonight I believe this church has faith, but we got to start having some hope too. Let's go to Psalms 27 real quick. Psalms 27. I want to teach you tonight. I'm going to give you a good meal you got to chew on a little bit. Let's look at verse 13. I would have lost heart. That word heart is the same word that can be connected to hope. I would have lost hope unless I had believed that I would see. Now, right there, that's expecting.
Amen.
Are you with me? Right now, David is he's expressing, I'm expecting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
Notice what he says. I would have lost my hope if I stopped expecting. So when reading that, my question to us tonight is, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? Well, I'm expecting when I come to church, God's going to speak to you, Pastor, and you're going to call out what I need healing on. Why can't you just expect that God will heal it without me calling it out? I'm not the healer. I'm the FedEx guy. I just deliver the package. You don't jump up and down to get excited and thank the FedEx guy. Oh, thank you. No, what are you expecting? The Bible says that the Lord daily loads you with benefit. Are you expecting some loads today?
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Where's your... I'm not talking about, well, I hope so. That's the world's answer to hope. Wishing. Did you hear that? You know, God's going to move. Well, I hope so. I wish He would. No, that's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is God's going to move. I know He is. I'm expecting Him to do something today. Bonnie's aunt and uncle that were here Sunday morning, they texted us at 7 a.m. And she said at 5 a.m. that morning, the Lord spoke to her and said, get to done. There's going to be an explosion in the spirit today. She walked into the room, looked at everyone, said, get up, get ready. We're going to done. They drove the whole way from Richmond with an expectation. How far did you drive? Did you expect? Are you tracking with me? Let's keep reading though. I would have lost my expectation. But what do you do when you realize that you're starting to lose your expectation? All of us have been there. Wait on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yeehaw.
Praise God.
That's the hardest thing to do. As a Christian. Now I'm going to watch how this works. The verse before, I would have lost my hope if I hadn't expected. That's hope. Here you see faith. Wait on the Lord. I'm expecting Him to do something, but I trust Him. He's going to do it in His time. Wait on the Lord. And be of good care. You know, I hear people, I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't either, but I sure don't want to get behind Him either. I've always said, you always hear me say, you got to be in the right place at the
right time.
Come on now. Right place at the
right time
doing the right thing. That is faith. I know what God told me He's going to do. But sometimes it means you got to wait on the Lord. And if you'll wait on the Lord and be in good courage and release your faith, He will strengthen your heart. And notice the writer knows how we are. So he says it again. And I say again, wait on the Lord. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Psalms 43. Psalms 43, verse 5. Hope in God.
Amen.
For yet I will praise Him. Now I want you to see something here. Hope will not only release faith, but it will stir up a praise. Let me say it like this. If you have hope, you will praise. You will praise. But there are times that you will praise that you've lost your hope.
That's right. Amen.
But you can't keep on praising and keep losing your hope.
Amen.
The more you praise, the more your expectation will rise up. Hope in God, for yet I will praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. What are you hoping in? Is your expectation in people? Please do me a favor. Don't expect from me. I can't fulfill what God said He's going to do here. Neither can you. My hope's in God. My hope is in God. We used to have an evangelist who used to come to our church, and he came to Richmond when Danny was there. I know he'd been here. Anybody remember Jerry B. Walker? We called him, the kids called him Uncle B. He would always say, please don't expect from me. I'm not a healer. God's the healer.
Amen.
Don't come expecting. Now, if we let me get up here so I'm sure everybody hears it. We're all guilty of putting our hope in a preacher. Well, no, I've never done that. No, you've never thought, well, he's going to be preaching tonight. I know church is going to be good. What are you doing? You're saying he's determining whether God moves or not. Now, watch this. There's nothing wrong with believing in the man's ability and the man's relationship with God. But don't put your hope in man. Jeremiah says, when you put your hope in man, he will fail you.
Amen.
Hope in God.
Amen.
See, that's where hope and faith work together. I have my trust in God.
Amen.
He can't fail me.
Amen.
He can't fail me. Yeah, let's go a little deeper, can we? Let's go to Psalm 71. I got a couple more and then we'll wrap this up. Psalm 71. Look at verse 14. But I will hope continually. I'm expecting continually. And will praise. Here we go again. See how it works together? And will praise you yet more and more. The longer I expect, the more I'm going to praise. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. Now here's the line. This is why I put the scripture in there. For I do not know their limits. Somebody got blessed earlier this year financially. And they came to me and said, well, I got my blessing for the year. What do you mean? Well, God did this. And I said, did you reach your limit? I didn't know God had a limit. I didn't know God had a quota. I didn't know God said, well, I blessed you this year. Okay, you're good now. I'll see you next January. But don't we think like that? God does something supernaturally for us and we'll go, whoo, man, that was good. Well, let's enjoy this one. It could be a while. You just told your hope. I said, you just told your hope. I'm going to go back to a verse I said. He daily loadeth you with benefits.
Amen.
Daily. I'm looking for God to do something for me every day. I wake up expecting to see God do something every day. And you know what I think? If I don't see it today, then I get double whammy tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if He blessed my socks off like He did Sunday, if y'all were here, y'all know what I'm talking about. If He blesses my socks off, I still don't know His limits.
Amen.
I've had people say, well, I know all about God. Oh, you do? No, all you know about God is what He's done for you. You don't know about God. You just know what He's done for you. It's going to take all eternity for us to understand God. We're gonna be studying and worshiping for 1,000 years, and then He's gonna turn. We're gonna go, whoa, I never saw that before, and take another 1,000 to worship Him for that. And He's constantly gonna be unveiling more and more. You don't know the limits of God. You have not seen the blessings that are coming your way. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Glory to God. I had somebody pray for me the other day, and they said, the Lord wants you to know that you've got a big dream. And I just kind of chuckled because I'd been praying that day about the dream I saw about this place. I said, yeah, I got a big dream. And they said, yeah, but the Lord says, as big as your dream is, it ain't even close to as big as what God's going to do. I said, woo! You know what they were saying? You don't know the limits of God. My God is unlimited. I'm trying to challenge you today to get your hope up. Get your hope back up. Get it back up. Start expecting God to do something for you. Glory to God. Woo! I've done taught myself happy. Tell your neighbor, you don't know what God's going to do for you. Have you ever heard me praying for somebody? It might be for you. And I'll be praying and all of a sudden I'll stop and go, no, it's bigger than that. You ever heard me say that? No, it's bigger than that. Because I'll be praying for you and God will give me a word and the Lord will say, they don't get it. And I'll say, no, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than what you're thinking right now. Notice what the Bible says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cord. In other words, start expecting increase. The Bible says that the Lord increases you and your children. Start expecting increase. Start waking up in the morning and say, I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm increasing in the glory of God. I'm increasing in the prosperity of God. I'm an increasing person. Glory to God. I'm increasing today and tomorrow, and I'm going to keep on increasing until I go out of here. You know what it's called? Expectation. And you know what you do with it? It's got to come out your mouth. No, I just lost some of y'all there. I don't have time to get into this, but I'm just going to say it and move on. God created this world by speaking it. We are created in the image of God, and you get from God by speaking it, not by thinking it, not by meditating it. You've got to open up your mouth and declare, God is increasing me. You've made me the authority on earth. He's made you the authority on earth. So you're telling me what heaven wants to do on earth. So heaven's headquarters is saying in your region, I want to do. So I'm over the region. Hey, this is what headquarters is saying. You ain't seen the limits of God. I got to give you two more and we got to quit. Proverbs 13. Let's go to Proverbs. I hope you're marking these in your Bible. That's why I'm giving you these verses. Proverbs 13. Hope deferred, and that word also means delayed. Guess what? We've all been there. Hope delayed makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it becomes a tree of life. I give you a visual that you can understand. Maybe you ladies had this happen to you or to your daughter, or you ever gone to the hospital to deliver the baby and they send you home? It ain't ready yet. Guess what happened? Hope got delayed. You're expecting. You go and they tell you, not yet. Hope delayed can make your heart sick. But don't give up hope. I said don't give up hope. Amen. Amen? Let me give you one more and we'll finish. Lamentations. Lamentations written by the prophet Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. This I recall to my... Sometimes you got to go back and remind yourself of what God has done for you. I said sometimes you got to remind yourself of what God has done. And if he did it then, he'll do it in the future. This I recall to mind, so therefore I have hope. What did he recall to mind? Here it goes. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Amen. Here we go again. Notice, wait. The Lord is good for those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God doesn't move on our timetable. We move on His. We don't tell God when we're moving. He tells us when we're moving. The children of Israel didn't tell God when to move the tabernacle. When the cloud moved, they said it's time to move. And there is hope. You got to have hope. And let me tell you something. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The enemy will do everything to get you to lose hope. Because he knows if he takes your hope, you won't have faith.